Welcome, everyone. This is Terrence. Don't call me Terrence. Today, Abney.
That's one of your worst. I want to just be honest
with
you, because sometimes
that's not going
to
work.
When I compliment you, I want you to believe it, and that one didn't land.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. How are we going?
Yeah. I said that because you gave me a fake compliment to start and using my name, and now I just don't even call Terrence anymore.
Before we started the show, we're actually on camera on Google today. With us is Darren. Darren, how do you say your last name?
Ganter.
Ganter.
It's actually from Germany, so European name still, but Ganter. So just think that you can have a banter as you canter with Mr. Ganter.
That is exactly what I was thinking.
I was just about to rhyme it myself. Sometimes Darren's like a poet, but he doesn't even know it.
Was
that as good?
No, but sometimes one day I will show it.
So while I was going to say the punchline was maybe a little weak, the landing between the two of you was fantastic.
Thank you.
Well, there you go. Absolutely.
I was saying to Terrence before the show, he's looking especially dapper. It's got a really, where's this coat? I've never seen this coat before either.
This is a cardigan, actually.
All right, I always mention the shoes.
Cardigan sweater.
Major win on the shoes. They're like a maroon and white and gray. Really beautiful. Almost always Nike. Are they ever not Nike?
Yes.
All right.
They are sometimes.
Occasionally not Nike.
Yeah.
Beautiful shoes. Beautiful cardigan.
Thank you.
And
Keep going. Now I'm into it now.
No, that's really all I had.
Never mind.
Especially, you do look dapper
today. I was waiting for you to get to the face and beautiful smile, but hey, beggars, or how's it say? Whatever the saying is, my feelings are hurt.
Welcome to the Connecticut Show.
Yes, if you are here listening to us, thank you. If you're out, as Travis says, in the garden, which I don't know why you would be, keep gardening and listening to us. If you're in your car on a Sunday afternoon?
Not just any Sunday afternoon, Terrence.
On St. Patrick's Day.
Yeah, welcome. Happy St. Patrick's Day, everybody.
Indeed. And Darren, happy St. Patrick's to you as well.
Thank you very much. It's great to be able to talk to some people, especially as we come up to our national holiday, which is also a day of celebration, but it's also a bank holiday, which is probably why most people are more excited about this weekend than tourists or visitors to the country.
Yeah. Darren, we didn't introduce you properly. Darren, can you tell us about yourself and your connection to T-Bone here?
Well, we call him T-Bone. What can I say? We started our beautiful friendship in around October 2021. So I drive tour buses around Ireland, and I had the pleasure of Travis's company back in 2021, driving him around parts of Northern Ireland and parts of Southern Ireland. If my memory serves me right, I actually even brought him into the town of Kells, where the Book of Kells is written, and he had a chance to meet my parents, which was
awesome.
An experience for them as well. And actually, it's funny, like, as soon as I remember the particular drive going around with him, I remember a lot of the kind of small things that we did along the way. One thing was actually visiting one of his aunt's former homes in Belfast City.
It was.
When we were coming into Kells, I remember you turning around to me and saying, is there anywhere that you can actually buy any gifts? And I remember bringing you up to my mum's friend shop, which she has actually since sold. She's retired now. But it was actually a pleasure for me to be able to give a small bit extra for yourself on that particular day as well.
So let me, so a couple of things. So first of all,
Is it town of Kells?
Kells, K-E-L-L-S.
Kells, okay.
Correct, yeah.
So this was during quarantine, 2021.
Right.
And it was supposed to be my family and me. And then one of the restrictions there was that if you acquired COVID, however you say that, while you were there, you weren't allowed to come back for 7 days. And so my daughter was like, I can't miss school for an additional 7 days. So she's like, I'm out, which almost canceled the entire thing. And we had hired through a travel agency, we'd hired Darren to take just our family around.
Mm-hmm.
And then the whole family backed out and I backed out as well. And then my daughter, so sweet, there's a character in my book. So the reason I was even going in the first place was to research a book I was working on. And she was like, well, you have to go because you have to meet this character. And it was really sweet. So then I kept the reservation. And I got to say, Darren, you almost got axed because I thought that seems so excessive, right? Like it seems so excessive to have a personal driver. But it was like already paid for. And what I really wanted from you was for you to take me to very specific places. Like I didn't want to go see the touristy places. There were places, there were locations that I was writing about that I wanted to see. Another thing you did for me there was you hooked me up with the black taxi tour trying to understand more about the Troubles. And I felt like the whole thing was just an amazing experience, very spiritual experience for me, actually. But I won't say I forgot, but just in like the broad sense, I did forget for this conversation that we did go back to my auntie's house, which is...
Yeah, I was going to ask that.
She grew up in Belfast.
Mm-hmm.
Darren, she passed away like maybe within the year of me getting back.
And wow, sorry to hear that.
It was very sweet because I called her. I called her because I was there.
Mm-hmm.
And then we had a long chat and I was like, and you know, she was coming up on years. And she was like, you know what? I lived a good life. I was like, do you want to go back to Ireland? Like, let's go back together. And she was like, no, my travel days are done. My grandkids are grown. You know, I've lived a good life. And it was just maybe a month after that she passed. And it was just really, really sweet. So that experience also was just so, so beautiful. So Darren has shared some of the most unique, beautiful, and spiritual experiences of my personal life. And we've met one time.
Yeah. There you go.
I'm a little jealous.
What can I say? Yeah.
Terrence has all the other ones.
what can I say? I suppose he's an inspiration, you know, especially coming over here. Like you said, he was researching characters in a book. And I remember the one thing that he specifically wanted to do during his time, was go to a place that I had never been, and I've subsequently only passed through it once since. And it was a place called Grey Steel. And anytime I go by there, I always remember bringing you up to do to a shop to buy something. And the shop was only in its construction phase, so the only thing that you needed would have been a hard hat, but you wouldn't have gotten any treats or anything.
Such a beautiful town. And it's just like a blink on the highway.
Absolutely.
Yeah,
of course, then there was a famous massacre there in 1993, I think it was, in the pub called The Rising Sun. So I remember actually being... When you were walking around the town, I went up to investigate a bit more and, of course, reading all the plaques. And these are things that I didn't know about growing up. So it was actually an eye-opening experience for me, rather, you know, as opposed to being for you as well. But it was actually really lovely to actually be able to expand my horizon on that specific tour, because it took me off the beaten track. And that's what I love about, you know, the whole tour and the whole way it was set up for us.
Yeah, no, it was lovely. And I will say, outside of that experience, which was so close to my heart, Kells was probably my favorite place. Like, I loved it. I loved meeting your parents. That town, when I tell people who are coming back to Ireland or going, I'm like, please, you got to check out Kells. I loved it so, so much. And like, to describe Kells to you, Terrence, it's if you just think of like small town Connecticut, we'll start there. And also, at Kells, the woman who was running the museum had grown up in Connecticut. Small world. But if you imagine like a small Connecticut town, and then like right in the middle of the town, this tower, this ancient tower where people used to protect themselves from Vikings, just there, you know, just casually there in the town. And then this really, it's a lovely church where they'd actually written the book, and I'm not sure how much of that is original. I'll be honest, I didn't read much while I was there.
To give you the brief, the Book of Kells actually originated on the island of Iona, just off Scotland, and it was moved to the monastery by St. Colum Kells, the monks in St. Colum Kells in the 9th century in Kells. So it started its journey in Scotland as to the famous Blarney Stone. It started there, and then that got moved over to County Cork. So both those started their journeys overseas, as to, of course, did St. Patrick, because he was actually born in Wales.
I am so happy you're on the show. There are times where like people like where Terrence will just hear a name and he'll just go off, and I think it's wonderful. So this is you're exactly the right person for the conversation, and maybe one week where Terrence is like traveling, we'll come back and we'll talk about my trip that whole time, because I could easily just take an hour talking about how personal and beautiful that trip was to me. But Terrence, you have some bigger questions.
I do.
Yeah.
What were those? I'm caught up. I was about to ask more about Kales, and I'm caught up now.
Well, I mean, you can ask me what you want about Kales, because as it happens, my mum's actually from there. And then she moved to Dublin when she was in her early 20s, met my father. And then she relocated back there with my father 6 years ago in 2018. So it's a place that I still visit from time to time, especially bringing the kids down to see my parents now, which awesome. Is... It's like a day out for my kids at this stage. Yeah. And he, you know, and like for me growing up, I would have visited my grandmother who actually passed away 10 years ago last week at the age of 102. So I got many, many years going down there. And recently, one of my mom's sisters, unfortunately, passed away at the age of 86. So I was down there with family and, you know, meeting a few other, you know, old friends and stuff like that. So, you know, Kells, no matter what, has always been, I suppose, a second home away from home for myself and my family.
That's awesome.
You know, I'm always happy to help.
As a total animation nerd, I love Cartoon Saloon so much. I'm curious if you've seen The Secret of Kells, and if so, what your thumb up or thumb down on that work?
I did see it. Now, it was on TV about, I think, 2017, 2018, I think, or maybe a bit more recent. It was actually played at Christmas time. So I think wrong time of the year, because a lot of people were already thinking of going out, or did they buy their mother-in-law a present and stuff like that. But, you know, from my own perspective, it was a lovely kind of heartwarming story, you know, and it's something that, you know, I know it has won awards, thankfully, and the company behind it have also won a few awards along the way as well. So I think it's a real lovely story of Kells and how it's, I suppose, how it's supposed to be portrayed.
Oh, that's dope. Again, we do have another show, and apparently it's going to be with just you and Travis, because he doesn't want to be here.
No, what I don't want is like for you to sit here the whole time while I geek out about like. Oh yeah, sorry.
Darren,
go ahead.
Darren, correct me if I'm wrong. What I heard was when Terrence is out, me and you will meet on the podcast and talk about this.
Oh, Terrence, I already feel terrible. I already feel like we've commandeered this whole conversation, and I'm just
wait.
Go ahead.
I just want to confirm. Darren, is that what you heard also?
No.
Oh, see, so you take somebody around one time for 4 days and you get on their side.
Yeah.
Nah, good stuff. Darren, question. So you said you before the show, you said you've been to New England before. I think you said Boston.
Yeah. Boston in 2002, and then New York twice.
Okay. What was your take on, I guess, to keep it in New England? I say that in quotes because I always feel like New York should be New England, but I guess it was a Dutch, so it's not. But anyway, what was your take on Boston at the time? Like a 2002, you said?
2002, yeah. I loved it. I actually have three cousins living there.
Okay.
I was staying with one of them at the time. And I just, you know, at the time I wanted a holiday. I wanted to experience what the American culture was. Because back then I was working in a completely different industry. I didn't have as much interaction as I would with tourists now, you know, where I'm driving the buses. So I wanted to go up to Boston, check it out, and absolutely loved it. I mean, you know, this will bring back a lot of memories to a lot of people, especially when I'm greeting people on the bus now and I'm like, mm-hmm. Hey, where are you from? They're like, at Boston. And I'm like, I remember Filene's basement. You know, that was the one place I ever wanted to go and check out different bargains. Of course, I used to always get the tube or the metro into Downtown Crossing all the time. Mm-hmm. I also went into Kitty O'Shea's bar near Federal Hall there. And in ways, it's actually more of a connection, because my ancestors basically came over from Germany as clockmakers. And mm-hmm. in Kitty O'Shea's in Boston, in the middle of Boston, there's a Ganter clock, which would have been made by one of my ancestors. So
that's dope.
Absolutely. Like I love going in there nearly every day and trying to purchase the clock. But unfortunately, I don't think they'll ever part company with it. But I do have my own Ganter clock, and it's actually in a section behind me, and it's still ticking away nicely.
A Ganter clock?
Ganter, G-A-N-T-E-R.
G-A-N-T-E-R.
Last name, Darren's last name.
Yes.
Yeah. I got to go check. I'm going to go. What's the name of the shop? You said name of the shop again?
Kitty O'Shea's. I'm going to have to go.
I got to go see it one day. To be honest, you have done so much more in Boston than I have. Like, I've been to Roxbury to an indoor track meet there, and I've been to see some friends, but I've never really experienced the town probably like I should. So,
well, you see, the thing is, people don't experience and go and visit places that are on their doorstep. You know, for example, I mean, the next 6 out of the 7 days, I'm actually going to be at the Cliffs of Moher. So I'm going to probably, Cliffs of Moher, one of these fantastic sites on the west coast of Ireland. Now, I take it for granted because I go there for work every single day. But I'd say 70% of the Irish people have never, ever seen them.
Right.
And the thing is, if they had a deal to go to, say, Rome for a day trip, or go to Paris for a weekend, or go to Spain for 2 weeks, they'd be booking their flights straight away. Mm-hmm. But a day trip to the Cliffs of Moher, nah, couldn't be bothered.
And those are breathtaking. I had a coworker who just went there, and breathtaking.
They are spectacular, you know. And the tour that I'm on tomorrow, it's actually a new tour that we started 2 weeks ago, and it's actually a really, really cool tour. So if anyone is coming to Ireland, you never know, you might even see me driving the bus, God help you. But anyway, I'm literally Cliffs of Moher, then we go to a lovely town famed for its music called Ennis, and then we travel for 20 minutes down the road to a town called Bunratty, and there's a beautiful castle there, and you get 2 hours to explore the castle and all the grounds around it as well. So
that's awesome.
And you know what, when I did the first tour there on my own there Saturday week ago, I had five people on board. Four people actually lived in Ireland, and they just didn't want to see Galway. They wanted to actually experience the Cliffs of Moher and check out a castle.
That's awesome.
And at one stage, Ireland had over 30,000 castles.
Ireland itself had 30,000 castles?
Yeah, between the 12th and the 15th century, like, castle building was pretty much as common as building a housing estate. You know, there was a lot of people who built them, the Normans, then the English, or the British, you know, you name it. They all had their own different castles. And there's about 1,500 in everyday use to this very day.
Oh, wow.
And that includes one of the most famous hotels in the world. It's called Ashford Castle. And it's where the likes of Pierce Brosnan, the actor, got married just before he shot the last James Bond movie.
Mm-hmm.
That was, I think, the 4th of August 2001. And then a couple of years ago, we had Rory McIlroy, the golfer. He got married there as well. So it's a very, very exclusive castle as well. So, yeah, like if anyone is into castles and they don't necessarily always want to see the tourism trade or the tourism areas, you know, Cliffs of Moher, Giant's Causeway, Rocky Castle, wherever like that, they can go and see all these castles. Like, we have awesome. Just hundreds of them.
That's what's up.
Still standing.
Darren, when you were here.
Yes.
So just a couple statistics for you, okay?
Boston
more than
has one castle.
More than one. It does. Actually, did you know we have a castle right next to us?
Yeah.
Did you really? In Woodstock?
In stores.
I don't know what there's a newly built castle in Woodstock. It's going for $26 million right now. I was thinking you and I should look into it as an investment property.
Yes, that'd be great.
Because so many people are going to Woodstock, Connecticut. It's one of the most obscure places for a new castle. But all right.
And this is not the Woodstock y'all are thinking about, just to be clear.
No, that is Woodstock, New York. But I believe, Darren, you spent some time in upstate as well.
I have, yes.
All right, I'm going to throw some statistics at you, and then there's a question at the end. Today, more than 1 in 5 residents of Massachusetts and New Hampshire claim Irish residency. Ancestry, which is very different. About 18% of people living in Rhode Island, Maine, and Vermont have Irish forebears. And Connecticut, where we are now, is probably the least Irish.
Yeah, I did know that.
In New England. But we're still 16%. So like almost 20% of all of New England has at least an affinity to Ireland. And what I'm wondering is when you came to Boston, which is probably our loudest and proudest Irish city, did you feel that? Like, and I'm curious, did we feel like a cheap knockoff? Did we feel like we were getting things right? What was Boston like as far as trying to achieve that authenticity?
I guess like when you look at Boston, you think Celtics. You know,
Stop! I'm worried you're gonna hold back, Darren, and I want like the completely unfettered. Like, give us the real deal. Go ahead.
I don't hold back, but okay. Like I said, when I was there, of course you have the Boston Celtics, and I mean. You're never going to get any more Irish than having Celtic in your name. So like from what I remember, obviously I met a whole load of Irish people, not only in Boston, but also in New England itself when I went to Montauk in 2004 too. But I mean, it just has that Irish spirit. Now, when I went over, I was under the legal drinking age, which actually suits me because I don't drink alcohol. So I only ever went into one pub, which was Kitty O'Shea's, which I mentioned a few moments ago. But I'd say if I went over there now and I moved over, or, you know, I went into a few Irish bars, a few shops, there's probably going to be a huge number of people that have actually come from Ireland or have Irish ancestry. Like Travis was saying there, that I'd say all in all, when you look at the demographic of America, we have probably about 50 million people that have descendants from Ireland, only in the States. And you have a population of what? About 370 million thereabouts. So like that's a huge number. It's like one in seven throughout the whole nation. I'm sure you'll be able to do a bit of research. I'm just going on kind of memory myself. But I mean, doesn't matter where you are. I think Ireland and Irish people have been regarded as one of the most respectful people over the years. That was until our gorilla called Conor McGregor escaped from Dublin Zoo, and we're still trying to capture him. But I think in the likes of Boston, you're not going to get any more Irish. I think it's probably the most Irish town that you can get away from home. It's home away from home for a lot of Irish people.
Wow, that's interesting.
It's a short flight too. There's a direct flight from Boston to Ireland, and it's actually pretty cheap, all things considered. Yeah.
Yeah, straight over to Logan Airport in about five and a half hours, I'd say, we'll get you over there.
Yeah.
On a sidebar, maybe a sad note, Kitty O'Shea's is closed.
I just got the
update.
So sorry to break that to you on the show like this. We should have prepped you before.
Yeah, I didn't know that. It surprised me because I was trying to go. I don't drink either, but I was like, I got to go see.
Yeah, we could have done a show for
clack
that.
Out to my man's family in there, and then. But
these things happen. Yeah, well, I mean, I'm disappointed. There's Filene's Basement. There's Kitty O'Shea's. It's now Boston Gardens as opposed to the Fleet Center. I mean, what next?
Yeah, we don't know. It all.
So and by the way, while you're there, a lot of people may or may not realize this, but Boston actually did not get its name from Irish people, believe it or not. There's a small town in England called Boston, and it was the Pilgrim Fathers who descended from there and went over to America and founded the city of Boston. And not too far from Boston in England, there is a small town called New York. And people from that town went over to America and founded New York. And that's why, from my memory, that the six states up there are known as New England. I see you nodding your head there. You're like,
I'm listening.
What are you like? Okay,
I have to go back and look at the history. I'm from South Carolina myself, so I get foggy on the New England history sometimes. Hopefully, my daughter knows it because she's they're in school learning it.
Just what you need, someone from, 3,000 miles away to be giving you a history lesson on your own neck of the woods.
Right. So, question, going back to history a little bit, and we spoke about St. Patrick's Day.
Yeah.
What is your interpretation of what we do with St. Patrick's Day here and what it's like in Ireland?
I mean, I think genuinely you guys do it better than the Irish. You know, and I mean that because, you know, you look at Chicago, you know, they dyed the river green.
Yeah.
You have parades left, right, and center. We have parades, and it's like a group of drunk people on the way home from the pub organized it. It just doesn't have proper flow. Like there's diversions all over the city, so you can't do any tours or anything like that, or even drive. And the weather is always disappointing. Whereas, you know, you look at the likes of Boston and Chicago, New York, even Rio de Janeiro, who are coming up with their own versions of St. Patrick's Day parades. It leaves a lot to be desired. Like the Irish people, the organizers could actually be taking note of all these mm-hmm. and doing more for the Irish people to say, you know what, we're going to put out a kick-ass show this year. This is going to be really what everyone wants. But we don't. That's the thing. And like another thing that I just really, it gets up my backside on, is all our political leaders, they're not in Ireland for our national holiday. They all go off. Our Prime Minister, our Taoiseach, Leo Varadkar, is going to be in the White House on the 16th and the 17th of March for St. Patrick's Day. And I'm like, you know, why are they spreading their wings for our national holiday instead of inviting people over here?
Yeah, or maybe that's ashamed. Right.
Maybe they're just ashamed to actually put on to show what Ireland has actually put on. So I think St. Patrick's Day itself is portrayed really nicely by a lot of countries around the world, especially the United States.
Wow, I was not the answer I was expecting.
Yeah, I was expecting cheap knockoff myself.
Yeah, well, because here, it's so many people who I know who don't, you know, and again, it's fine if to celebrate a holiday, even if you're not from, don't have an Irish ancestry, but it's, for me, and I guess maybe this is being in a college environment, a lot of times it's like, oh, a reason to drink day, which is a lot of holidays here, a reason to drink. So when you said the drinking parade, we'll have quite a few of those also, but I see what you're saying around. So you're saying the organization around it is just so much better, and the,
yeah.
more or less the hype and the marketing and then the actual production.
Absolutely. I mean, like I said, over here, it's a national holiday. So most people will just expect to stay at home, relax, mm-hmm. Watch TV, or because number one, the weather is probably going to be poor. Growing up in the 90s, the weather was really nice. You'd be out in your T-shirts, but now obviously, because climate change has changed dramatically, we should be expecting our overcoats and our wellies to be coming out of the presses now next week at the weekend. But I mean, I think as Irish people, we do let ourselves down. We could be doing a lot more and holding a lot more events for people that are coming over to Ireland as well. You know, like I know, like for me, the tourist season is really kicking off on St. Patrick's Day. So that means hotels are going to get more expensive. You know, likes of Cliffs of Moher, Giant's Causeway, Blarney Castle, they're all going to be surrounded by tourists. But it's like they're all coming over now, and most Irish people don't turn around and say, oh, well, you're welcome. It's more, you know what, we should be actually doing more for them. Like, for example, I'm into NFL. Not many Irish people will probably say that. I will tell you my allegiance, and you'll probably cut me off now. I'm a Miami Dolphins fan.
Hey, shout out to the Dolphins. You and my daddy would get along well. You and my dad would get along well. That's his favorite team.
I'll hopefully get over to the Hard Rock Stadium again because I was through there. I went by it there in 2019. But I mean, if we were to have a game or like invite the Celtics over or the Miami Dolphins or some sports team over, it would probably be a step in the right direction for the Irish people. You know, mm-hmm. we could be, you know, thinking outside the box and doing something different for people like yourselves when you come over.
can you, so let's back up a bit. Cause I have two thoughts here. The first is like, there's so many people that would love to be in Ireland during St. Patrick's Day, right?
That's what I would think. Yeah.
I think maybe you're underselling a little bit because I've met a couple of those people and they come back as if they have seen the second coming of their favorite, I don't know, thing. They're quite impressed. So they're seeing something they like. And then the second thing, and maybe we could do this in order of two, then one, is what should we be celebrating for St. Patrick's Day? I think a lot of Americans have no idea what the holiday actually represents. We just kind of get into the spirit of it, but there's not a whole lot of meaning behind it. So help us understand how we could make more of the holiday. What are some things we should be considering? And then in addition to that, if we do come over, where would you recommend, you know, where's the right place to have a St. Patrick's Day experience in Ireland?
Well, I mean, number one, avoid Dublin. Now, I'm from Dublin, and the way I see it is all these small towns and villages, they have localized parades, they have localized, you know, groups and societies organizing events. And it's only all the locals that show up. Nobody is passing through that town that says, hey, there's a parade on. Let's stop in here. Like for me on Sunday, I'll be going down to my eldest daughter. She lives about an hour away from me. Mm-hmm. Excuse me. And I'm looking forward to, number one, getting away from Dublin. And number two, hopefully being able to show her around different a parade or two that's different. It's not going to be full of people. It's going to be full of probably more makeshift floats that people will parade around in, literally for a parade. And I think that's what it's about. Like, people are missing out on these small towns and villages when they come over here. They always want to see Galway City. They want to see Limerick. They want to see Cork. They want to see Dublin. They want to check out Belfast. But, you know, when you look at the finer details, there's just so much more to offer than a lot of people don't get to see. And that's why, you know, when Travis was over in 2021, I loved the experience of going around to smaller towns and villages, showing them and learning more about things myself. And that's what I think a lot of tourists are missing out on when they come to Ireland, because they're focused on one or two locations and that's it. They're basing themselves in Cork. They're basing themselves in Dublin, in Galway, all these cities, but they never turn around and say, actually, you know what, we're actually going to be staying in an Airbnb in a small town in West Cork, you know. And I think people don't realize what's on their doorstep. The Irish people don't go there, but it's up to other people to discover their way around to these places. And it would be nice for, you know, when people come over to Ireland, they'd say, you know what, I want to check out somewhere different. I want to check out somewhere away from the city. Like, I recently had a girl that I met on tour 2 years ago. She came over here with a friend about 3 weeks ago. And on her last night, I got to meet her. And I just said, hey, I'm going to bring you to what's known as they call it the highest pub in Ireland. It's actually the second highest pub, but that's another story. But I brought her up there, and I decided to bring her through little towns and villages on our way up there to show her a proper experience. And she'd been over in Ireland for 2 weeks at this stage, and she said, this is actually fascinating, you know, just to see something different, because it was off the beaten track. And that's what I think a lot of people from the tourist perspective could be coming over to Ireland to see. Now, don't get me wrong. What I said about St. Patrick's Day and what the Irish people are putting on the show, it is fantastic to a certain extent. But by kind of 2 o'clock on Sunday, our parades are finished, our streets are reopened, and there's nothing that says, hey, there's a game on, or X, Y, and Z is going to have a couple of barbecues or something, you know, something to keep the people engaged in the city. It's pretty much, oh, that's it, full time, let's go.
I want to just set the expectation. So when you're talking about those smaller towns, we actually visited a few places. And so
we
those, of you listening in New England, and I know a lot of our listeners are outside of New England learning about New England, but for those of you who live here, and in fact, Terrence, let me just talk directly to you. There are some roads here, and we have complained about not having sidewalks. There
Correct.
Are some roads here when there are two cars on the road. It's a little harrowing, right? That is nothing compared to there were so many times, Darren, where I thought, if another car comes, what do we do? How does this person even get out of their house? And by the way, it's not for lack of space, because you just have like wide open country, and yet you've chosen to make the most narrow road possible. You could make that two lanes. You really could. So, but just to kind of help you visualize, listeners, it is a very, very narrow thing when you are out in kind of more of the country. And I'll say that you and I spent most of our time up in Northern Ireland, so I can't speak to Southern Ireland, but I suspect it's quite similar. Is there a reason that the roads have never expanded?
There's, I suppose, a few plausible reasons. Number one is, in the olden days, now I'm going back to the times when people were traveling around on horse and cart, or ass and cart, as they'd call it, you know, donkeys back then. So they'd have a single lane, and there would have been a few pulling points, because at the end of the day, you're not expecting to meet a lot of other horse and carts traveling, you know, against you. And
but it must have happened once, Darren. There must have been one time where someone was coming north and another person was going south. How did they get around each other?
But like I said, there would have been a few little pulling points, you know, be it an entrance to a field or an entrance to somebody's house. And then as the years go on, of course, automobiles become more useful. And then the councils say, you know what, let's just expand it a bit, because we're not expecting a huge volume of traffic in that area. And of course, then some bright spark decides to buy 200 acres down the road, and his friend decides to buy 300 acres, you know, 6 miles away. And they decided to start building a few houses, a few shops, and a church. And then suddenly there's two small towns in between this country lane.
Yeah, so I think historically we're talking much, much smaller towns, right? And we're talking like groups of like six or seven houses for a long period of time. That makes sense.
Absolutely. But like one place, and whenever I'm doing the tour, you're nearly dreading taking the road, is between the Cliffs of Moher and Galway City. It's known as the Burren Coast Road. Now, it is probably one of the most magical drives you're ever going to experience. But when I tell people that the coach that I'm driving, the 63-seater bus, or 64-seater, if I don't have anyone in the jump seat, that I say to people that this is a two-way road, and the horrified looks that they give you, and especially when you come around the corner near Fenor, when a very, very small town in the middle of it, and you see a nice big tourist bus coming straight for you, and there's very, very little scope. You nearly have to be touching the walls on each side. And the reason that it has never been expanded is because these walls, they back over 170 years. These are stone walls that were basically built like old games of Jenga, placed on top of each other, all the bricks were. No mortar, no cement, nothing holding them in place. And the council don't want to move them. They don't want to turn around and say, actually, we can move them about maybe 3 feet either side. Because at the end of the day, if somebody owns the field down there, they'd say, hey, my great-great-great-grandfather built that wall. You know, right. You're not touching it. And that's why a lot of our roads are still not
sure.
As well.
No, that's fair. I can dig that.
Hey, sorry if I sounded pessimistic about it. I think that's a really reasonable reason. There was one place.
I won't be taking that tour now, Darren, just to be clear, because if you haven't heard this show before, I'm a bit of a safety person. Scared me, and I can't even picture it.
Well, and to follow up on that, there was one little church you took me to, Darren, where you were like, hey, I just want to show you this place. And it was a beautiful church right on the ocean and gorgeous overlook. There's a nice little cemetery there. But as you started driving down, I was like, you know, I can walk. Like everything we're doing right now. And you're like, no, 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 I do this all the time. And you're like, and in fact, sometimes tour buses come in. But legitimately, the road had gotten so tight and was making such sharp turns. I was like, no, my safety is, I no longer feel safe. I'm very happy to walk from this point on. And then the way that psychologically you backed me off of that was to say, tour buses do this sometimes. And I thought, oh, okay. Like for some reason, I was just totally okay with it after you said that.
Reminds me of St. Lucia also.
Is it?
St. Lucia, the roads are very small like that.
I've never been to St. Lucia. Hopefully one day. But I do think, going on memory, that sounds like it was a place called Monaster Boyce, where there's one of the old round towers there as well. That's the only small road that I can think that I brought you on that time. So it's a monastic site with a graveyard and everything, and tour buses do go up there.
Yeah, so we're gonna have to compare. When you come to Boston again, we have to come get the hour and a half drive to come get you and show you our small roads.
Oh yeah,
we'll see what you think.
Oh no, I'm really looking forward to it. Absolutely.
One more on St. Patrick's Day, Darren.
Of course,
There is a concern here that maybe we stereotype come St. Patrick's Day.
We absolutely do stereotype.
I wanted to get this unfiltered. I didn't want to like push you in one direction.
Oh, sorry.
Yeah.
Maybe we do, maybe we don't. I'll take it back so it's not.
Yeah, maybe we do, maybe we don't. I would love your unfiltered take on kind of the gluttonous and maybe stereotypical, very likely, I think Terrence would say definitively, stereotypical take on Irish caricature, on the green beer, like just I feel like we're missing some of the meaning here. And do you find that offensive? And is there some way that you wish that we were more respectful around St. Patrick's Day or any Irish holiday?
Or is it
really
just very New Englandish?
Oh, no. It's American wide at the very least.
I think it's just showing your connection to Ireland. Because when if I was to go into McDonald's, for example, today, I could have a shamrock shake. Now, I can't get it any other time of the year, but we can get it this time of the year. So I think when you go into certain places, it's just their way of, I suppose, celebrating our national holiday. Whereas, I mean, for the 4th of July, if we could come up with something for an American-style theme, the only thing we can think of is we have more hot dogs available. I don't know why that is. But are we stereotypical for doing the exact same thing? You know, that's one thing that...
I'm very offended by the hot dog thing. I did not know this.
Yeah, no. But 4th of July, we're either listening to Katy Perry all day long singing about the 4th of July, or we're having, kind of hot dog parties. People will be selling more hot dogs on that day or giving discounts on that. So I suppose it's kind of like having you guys turning green, you know, things green. You're entitled to do it. And I think it's wonderful if people take the initiative and change something green just for a couple of days. I'd love it if companies that are over here in Ireland that have their European headquarters over here, I'd love if they change their logo to green just for a few days to show their commitment to Ireland, to show something different.
So no disrespect on our part, right? We're doing fine.
Not at all. You guys are doing an ace job.
We might get two or three more opinions on this, Darren, but I do appreciate I do appreciate that one to begin with.
No worries.
Terrence, take us home. What's the last topic we wanna end on here?
The last topic we wanna end on. You mean the takeaway?
You could do the takeaway. I'm not actually watching the minutes. I don't know if we're coming up on the hour yet or not.
We are coming up on the hour, actually.
We are.
We're getting there. Darren, you did a great job. You got a future in podcasting also, my friend.
Thank you very much.
I see a nice connection with, you know, Irish history with Darren.
Yeah, no, you can see that I'm, you know that I was in the tourism trade because I like to tell a lot of stories and, you know, like when I got into this job 6 years ago, I had not got a clue. But, you know, over time, you develop all your stories and all your history and stuff like that. So it's always great to be able to, I suppose, have an answer for all questions in relation to any time of the year, but especially St. Patrick's Day. You know, like there's only one event that we're thinking of now coming up this week, and that's St. Patrick's Day.
Yeah. Well, one of the things that you taught me today also, you mentioned the backyard piece. So I think definitely getting back out, and I do need to see more of New England, especially before I am told sometimes I'll be moving from here soon.
Yeah.
Story behind that. Cool. But
no, we got time. Visit. I'm looking. We got plenty of time.
You know,
what's the story?
My wife always says we're getting out of New England. She's getting tired of the cold. So.
Well, you know what? I'd if I didn't have children now, I would be dying to go back to Miami, and I'd probably love to live there. That was my last city I visited in the States.
Oh wow! Yeah.
And I have to say, huge fan of the whole Latin culture, and look forward to getting back there one day. I recently, my last trip abroad, I managed to ditch the kids for a few days, and I went over to Abu Dhabi in the Middle East, which was an experience and a half because I'm into Formula One. So I went over to watch the Grand Prix, the last race of 2023. But I mean, I'd love to go. I never got to see Key West when I was over there in 2019. That's the one thing that's still on my bucket list, no matter what.
Key West.
And of course, yeah, defo. And I wouldn't mind one day going down to San Francisco maybe and checking out the Alcatraz.
Different, you know, different show. We don't promote. Yeah. We don't promote San Francisco. Stay on the East Coast with us, Darren.
Just saying. Like, the funny thing is, Ireland actually has their own version of Alcatraz. Really? I have never been to it. However,
that's good.
I am planning to. I haven't even been as a day. As a day commuter, I guess. I am looking forward to going to it. So one of my nieces has her communion, her first Holy Communion now in a few weeks in Cork.
Amen.
And I'm going to stop off at the town of Cove, which is where the Titanic actually last set out from in 1912 before it sank. So the last town, it was known as Queenstown. It's now Cove, C-O-B-H. But they have an island just off the coast of Cove called Spike Island. Now, the prison itself closed in 20 years ago, 2004. But I'm dying to go over there just to kind of learn the history and see something else.
Is it a live prison or is it historic?
No, it's a historic.
Oh, okay, sorry, I missed that.
Closed in 2000, you said?
2004. So 20 years now.
When I was over there, so one of the places we went was Belfast, but I was there very specifically to research and to get some information while I was there. Darren practically brings me to the front step of the Titanic Museum where, you know, because we're there in Belfast. And he's like, do you want to go? I was like, why? Like, no. It's just now I regret it. Now I regret not taking like two more steps and going into the museum. But it was just so not where my brain was when I was there with you. Darren, I know that you're starting a YouTube channel, aren't you?
I am indeed. Believe it or not, I actually uploaded my first video just so if anyone does subscribe to it. Like I've set certain milestones, by the way. So if I get a certain number of subscribers, I want to be able to turn around and start helping community-based stuff. There's basically a description of it on my YouTube channel. But I uploaded the very first video today, finally. I set it up about maybe 2.5 months ago. But I said, well, if people are going to subscribe, I don't want nothing to be there. So I may as well put one on. So I actually, because I'm a fan of Formula One, I actually put in the kind of first lap before the race starts, the kind of warm-up lap of all the racers. So in fairness, they all kind of stopped in front of where we were to kind of salute us and show their respect that we all traveled such great distances to go over there. So yeah, I've started a YouTube channel. No, one video, no subscribers, but who knows, maybe people listening to this might change this.
The floods, yeah. The floods of people that will come.
Be ready to make that money, Darren.
We cannot tell, because of radio rules, we cannot tell people to go to your YouTube channel, but just informationally, What is the username or the channel that they would look up?
Well, I mean, you're going to find the humor of this, and my friends find it's humorous when I tell them. So the Irish word for fun is crack, all right? So if you ever meet an Irish person or overhear them talk and they're like, hey, I was there last night, we had some great crack. That's C-R-A-I-C. That means they had great fun.
Yeah.
It's nothing illegal, all right?
It still sounds synonymous. Go ahead.
Basically, I go to a party and said, had great crack last night. And no one is none the wiser. They say, you had a lot of fun. So, or if we have a boring group, we're like, there's no crack on the bus today. But anyway, yeah, I started a YouTube channel and it's actually called Me Crack. M-E. So basically, it's my fun in Irish.
Ah, that makes sense. So, Me Crack.
So basically, yeah, a bit of a funny title. I won't market it too much because I know for legal reasons you're probably not supposed to. But if anyone is on YouTube and says, hey, this guy was semi-entertaining, give it a go.
Indeed.
Absolutely.
All right, so we need to wrap up. Darren, fantastic to have you.
Yeah, thank you for coming on and taking the time. Seriously. Yeah. What time is it? Is there you on a different time there?
We are now coming up to...
This is going to be all sorts of confusing because right now it's noon on a Sunday.
Right.
So let me get ahead of that. Darren, it's 4 o'clock there in the afternoon, right? I guess we're coming up on 1. We're coming up on...
Correct.
Wait a minute. We're actually recording at the right time.
Correct.
Is this the first time?
No.
Okay. It's just suddenly it's like not a Twilight Zone episode. Usually we record at night, Darren, and then we release it as if it's live on Sunday at noon. But we're actually in studio at noon, which is... So what time is it there now?
It's now 5 o'clock now, so it's noon for you. So we're pretty much right on time, are we?
Yeah.
We are. We're right on the hour. So with that said, Darren, any last words? Any words of wisdom for our listeners? Oh, and actually, you said, and we're going to make one exception. We never do this. We lead in and out with Bon Bon Vivant, one of our favorite groups. It's, what is it, Terrence?
Hard living while you're dead.
Pretty close. It's a hard way living when you're dead. That takes us in and out of the show almost exclusively. But you said you would have a good song for us to lead us out. So we're going to let you pick the closing song. Tell us what it is.
Well, I suppose being Irish, you got to sometimes support your own act. And this is a group that I have been together since the 25th of September, 1976. When the drummer got kicked out of another band called the Artane Boys Band for getting his hair cut too short and getting his ears pierced.
Makes a lot
and
of
his
sense.
His dad turned around to him and said, put up a notice in your school. He was only 14 years old at the time. That band has been through so much, and it's called, of course, U2. So, Where the Streets Have No Name.
All right, we will end with The Streets of No Name. What's interesting, that sounded something similar to the story of Sing Street. Have you seen Sing Street?
I haven't. I've listened to it because one of the tour guides on the bus recently had it on. And obviously when I'm driving, I can't really watch it, but I was listening to it. But no, I'm dying to see it.
And, oh, fantastic movie. So good.
I agree.
I did hear about the concept of it. So I'll definitely have to watch it one of these days.
Terrence, did you see Sing Street?
Yeah, several times.
All right. Yeah, I believe you. This is my face I make when I believe you. All right. So, Darren, lovely to have you for Travis Poppleton.
And Terrence Abney.
This is the Connecticut Show.
Darren, thank you again.